You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to the Breakfast Table, the 8-Bit Waffles podcast. Today we are broadcasting from the Detroit Shipping Company for the Noel event, and we are joined by special guests, Randy and Nuri. So Nuri is actually from the Daily Detroit podcast. Randy is an engineer over at Podcast Detroit. And then, of course, I have Darshan joining me from the Breakfast Table. And I'm your host, Brad. So today we are here to talk about our geek Christmas memories. Well, everybody here except for Nuri.
Well, that makes an interesting story, but...
Yes. So... But as most people have grown up with Christmas and everything like that, there are Christmas memories that you've come to know and everything like that. I know one of my biggest Christmas memories is getting a Nintendo 64 as a kid and pretty much locking myself in the room for the rest of the week until school started again.
That just shipped with what? The regular Super Mario 64?
Mario Kart 64.
Mario Kart 64.
Yeah, I got the special edition
fancy,
one.
Man.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Because I was thinking there's that Mario version that was basically like the most annoying... poorly built 3D open world concept, which is like the first of its kind for Mario.
Yeah. Which everybody played and was like, this is amazing. And you look back at it today and go, this wasn't very good.
I saw a video of people doing machine assisted speedruns of that just on Reddit this week. And I'm like, oh my God, the memories of being so pissed off at this game.
Was that the one where you leap through the portraits in the hallway?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The only one where it had like the overworld as the castle or Princess Peach's castle.
Okay. Yeah.
That was a fun one at the time, looking back at it, though.
I remember my Nintendo that I got in 1990 when I was 5 years old.
That's about when I got my Nintendo, too, for Christmas.
The original NES?
Yeah. The original.
I remember carrying a Super Nintendo out of Target. There was a Target in my town. It was a very small town in Florida. I remember all the kids just kind of looking at me because the interesting part of my story is my family didn't celebrate Christmas. We were Jehovah's Witnesses. So I missed out on a lot of those Christmas memories, which we'll talk about. But I remember it was maybe a month before Christmas, and I'm just walking out of Target carrying a Super Nintendo. All the kids are like, whoa. I remember their staring glances as I walked with my Super Nintendo.
Like just that jealousy of just,
oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, that's not fair. He's getting to play that.
And I was cock of the walk, too. I'm just like strutting. Like,
I mean, was that a benefit? Did you just get stuff and you didn't have to wait until Christmas, or you just didn't get stuff?
We got presents, but they were not like wrapped and put under a tree. It was just kind of throughout the year they would get stuff for us, but there was never like a day where we all got together and did Christmas things.
So while every other kid in that line had to wait until December 21st, you got to walk out of Target with your Super Nintendo and just hook it right up.
But as a little 12-year-old Nuri, I didn't think about that, right? So I was thinking more about, you know, damn it. You know, everyone would come back from winter break and they'd have their newest, like, God, it was... fifth grade was a Game Boy, probably. Mm-hmm. So all of them would be with their Game Boys and their brand new Nikes and like their cool clothes. And then I just would kind of be sitting in the back of the class, not pledging allegiance to the flag, and not eating birthday cake candles, and being like, shit, why did my parents do this to me? So I didn't get it as a kid. Like that whole, like, well, we get presents throughout the year line that you hear from a lot of people. No.
So, yeah, well... I can see as a kid going, oh, man, I want presents on this day. But you also got the presents early. I'm sure there were other kids looking. He gets to play with his toys right now? He doesn't have to wait?
See, now as an adult, I'm like, my parents were a genius.
Yeah. They had this down. But, yeah, I remember, like, Christmas memories are one of those things because you would open up the gifts and then you'd quickly grab the favorite toy. Everybody knew what their favorite toy was on Christmas morning, and then they run up, and that's what they played with for the next week. And the rest of the stuff got ignored.
Did you expect it? Like, did you have a toy that you knew was coming, maybe? And that's why you were so happy about it, or?
Oh, yeah. I know from my Christmas experiences, I always knew what I was getting way before Christmas.
Okay. Santa wrote you an email.
I never did. One time I did, and that was when I was in the sixth grade, and I kind of hinted at my dad what I wanted. You know, you get that the toy catalog from Toys R Us, and you, like, circle the
rest
one.
In peace.
Really, really, really hard, you know, with extra, you know, circles around it to emphasize how much you wanted it. And he actually saw that, and it was in the seventh grade, and it was a Tamagotchi.
Nice.
And I remember that thing going off in math class. So I was trying to feed it, and like everybody's like looking at me, and the teacher like looked at me, and I was like, I'm sorry, I just got this. My bad. I don't know how to turn the sound off.
At least it wasn't a baby Darshan.
The only things I knew of early were Legos, because you can't even bump the box without knowing what's inside it. But, you know, I wouldn't know which sets or anything like that, but you could definitely tell they were Legos as soon as you touched the box.
Did you get me a box of ZD for Christmas, Dad?
What's a box of pasta doing under the Christmas tree? But yeah, I always had that. I would always ask for very specific things, kind of the same thing where I'd just circle like three things and I knew I'd get those three things. You know, nothing else, but I'd get those three things. So I always knew what I was getting.
Now, did your parents like lord over you the whole Santa's watching Elf on the Shelf garbage where like if you were a good boy, then you would get those presents? Or did you just almost have like, this expectation of getting presents anyway?
I always had the expectation of presents. I never even heard of Elf on the Shelf until I was like 22.
It's some surveillance bullshit.
It was something that I'd never heard of. And I remember one of my coworkers was like, yeah, we got the new Elf on the Shelf to put up. And I was like, okay, you're going to have to explain this to me because you lost me on this. What is this? Because that, yeah, it wasn't a thing when I was a kid growing up at all.
Oh, and wow. Now it's just Facebook memes.
But yeah. Yeah. But I did, like, my mom knew Santa's phone number, the Easter Bunny's phone number. She knew everybody around the block.
Do you guys ever write a letter to Santa?
I never did
that. When I was very young, yes. Yeah.
I mean, I probably did it in like a class at some point, but never just, you know, bringing out my pen and paper and going, "Dear Santa, please give me a Nintendo 64. Yeah. Love, Brad."
Our local newspaper published letters to Santa. Like, you'd mail them in, and the local post office would reroute them to the newspaper office, and then they would be published in the newspaper.
Okay, that's kind
of
cute.
Invasion of privacy there.
This violates my HIPAA. I talked about my health conditions.
Yeah, it's a client privilege.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember there's some post office that if you mail them to a specific address, they have people that will actually respond with that generic,
my city does that.
You know, thank you for writing to me, blah, 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 you know, Jenny. And most of the time they get the name right.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And, yeah.
I'm so happy that I buy Forever stamps now.
You're funding this.
Yeah.
I would say my most specific geeky Christmas memory was actually a bad memory. I was probably 10 to 12 or so, probably closer to 12. I'd started playing Magic the Gathering in seventh grade.
Oh, yeah.
And got some Magic cards for Christmas. And my mom could tell something was wrong with me because I didn't open them. I didn't go through them. I ended up going to the hospital later that day with bronchitis.
Oh, snap.
So it's like getting the most like awesome present ever at the time and then not being able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then realizing, okay, something's wrong.
Yep, yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
And then just knowing that you're sitting at the hospital, you're like, I have some magic cards.
Yep.
I went to the tree.
Exactly.
I'm going to play them. Doctor, get in here!
I think the worst part with that gift is you know you got magic cards, but you don't know what cards you got while you're in the hospital just going, I know my gift, but I still don't know what my gift is.
Exactly, exactly.
A green deck or a red deck or a black deck.
He said deck, black deck with an E.
For the censors at home, right? Yes, it's bigger, blacker deck. Right, yes. So the interesting thing, I have a Magic the Gathering story. I was an avid collector, and this was probably middle of my high school years. I had a bunch of friends into it, so I kind of got into it as well, and we'd play down in Mr. Wickersheim, the band teacher's. He had a giant band building that was kind of his own thing, so he would host these things. And so I played probably 9th and 10th grade, and then my mom found them and asked what they were, you know, from a lens of a Jehovah's Witness, right? Mm-hmm. And so she's like, magic, this is evil, this is Satan's. So my mom actually burned all of my Magic the Gathering cards, all of the original ones that everyone would probably kill for nowadays. And then since the ink does weird things when you burn it, changes color, you know, when you burn something that's like heavily inked and cardboard, my mom said that that was proof of evil coming off of them.
I was going to say,
is science?
It's like magnets. How do they work?
I was going to say, didn't she realize when she burns the cards, that's like summoning the creatures held within them?
I'm going to tap 2 mana to save them, mother. No, don't. Yeah, it's my magic story. It's kind of sad.
It's very sad.
It's so rich right now.
But yeah, and, you know, Darsha, did you have your big, besides Tamagotchi, or was that your big Christmas gift memory?
I think
memory?
It was definitely the Nintendo. That can't beat that. I mean, I still own it. It's still in my house, you know, and I fixed it so it still works. You know, I replaced the pin connectors inside. That thing will never die.
Dang.
And Let's see. I mean, that I remember on that same Christmas, I also got a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pinball machine, like a little tiny.
Wait,
like one with like Bebop and Rocksteady on the back, like wall.
Like a handheld pinball machine?
Yeah, like a handheld pinball machine about like, you know, about a 2 foot length and then about a, like, you know, about 1 foot length wide. It's like a small one, like a toy one.
It's almost like a necklace sized ball in it, right?
And then,
yeah.
As we shift around the studio.
Tight spaces, tight spaces.
The problem with that was it broke like 5 days after playing it because it was my favorite toy. I played it more than the Nintendo. And like after it broke, my parents like returned it and like never got another one. So
it was
the 5 days that I had with this awesome toy pinball machine that I'll never forget because it was so cool.
And now it's gone forever.
And now it's gone forever. And I'll probably, I could get one off eBay or something, but I'm sure it's worth quite a bit now. But yeah, that and like, I sometimes got money. And so I'd always get like, I used to go to what was called Funko Land back in the day before GameStop. And,
right.
Funko Land.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's what it was called before GameStop.
Back in the day.
Yeah. And yeah. I would try to save up as much and try to get the newspaper and just kind of save up my money and try to get the penny games or one of the cheap games. And I remember one that I got on Christmas, which was RC Pro-Am for the NES, which was like a race car game, you know, and that was really, really fun. And, you know, so it's like, I guess it's tied more to an emotion than it is like the actual game itself because of the experience of, you know, getting money and buying it and choosing what you want on your own. And that was really more the thrill, you know.
I never got money for Christmas. I would get gift cards that would proceed to never be used, but I never got money.
Hmm. I think it was just my parents' easy way out of just like, okay, you decide and you figure out what you want to get. Because, you know, little kid, we could try to figure out what you want, but we might get it wrong and you might get mad. So here's $20.
I got money from grandparents, but never from parents.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I feel like there's one family member in every group that likes to give kids to the grandkids or then
right.
give kids to the grandkids. Thankfully, my grandmother never gave me any kids.
You did grow up in Florida.
I did grow up. A Florida man was given kids by his grandmother today. I see that like in my friends' families. You know, I knew them growing up, they'd get cards with money from their great uncle or things like that. So did you have like a big extended family or was it just like you and your parents? And
now that you mention it, I do remember getting checks that I would always have to give to my parents to cash for me because I didn't have a bank account at that young age.
20% processing fee.
Right.
Got to pay the mom and dad tax.
Yeah, there you go. The mom tax, which ends up being the entire check. I don't know if I ever saw any of that money.
Now that I think about it, I think my parents did give money. I think we got like dollar coins in our stockings along with a bunch of like candy and fruit.
And some gold doubloons.
Wait, fruit?
Yeah, we'd get like oranges and apples and stuff in our stockings.
That's a big thing. Like my ex-wife's parents, she does that too. They drop oranges at the bottom of the stockings. And that's like an old school tradition, like for people to have fruit in the day.
Instead of coal, you get fruit?
Well, it makes them hang
around. Do you want
to
jump on a mic, Dave? You're more than welcome to join.
Comments from the peanut gallery.
I just unpaused it, and also mine.
Okay, so. Go for it.
No, I just feel like oranges in a stocking is like that's a Full Metal Jacket sock party.
Totally. At the same time, the socking like hangs just right because it's a perfect little round ball.
Yeah.
The toe.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a good tangerine in the middle of winter? I mean,
for sure.
It just seems like a weird Christmas gift to be, oh man, I love this new video game and an orange and a banana.
Maybe Santa wants you to have a little vitamin C Christmas morning.
I think Santa's being very judgmental.
No, he's fighting off scurvy.
One child at a time.
Oh, Santa. Now, so it was the day after Christmas, because I didn't have these experiences. Was it completely lost? Like, what were your parents doing? What were you doing? And did you sit there all day long and play with your new toys?
Well, hold on. An hour after opening the gifts, the magic of Christmas is already gone. You're off playing with the one toy out of the several that you got. You know,
and is that all of your brothers and stuff as well? So basically everyone just kind of scatters and goes and does their thing all day? Or
I had Christmas always with my cousins. I'm a, you know, only child. And yeah, it'd basically be like that where,
you know, yeah.
So, yeah, it would basically be, you know, everybody opens gifts like, oh, family, 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 family. And then everybody just scatters to their different sections of the house and plays with the one thing.
Got to hook this up to this TV. Got to.
Dad, do you have the RCA cables? Yeah.
Or batteries. It's always batteries.
Always the batteries in the house, never having any batteries.
Yep.
You know, I'd be bummed to not use
the screwdriver to hook the fork hooks for the Atari 2600 up to the TV.
Oh, snap. I remember this. And then I remember the adapter that went from coax to fork hooks.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And it was TV gaming. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
With the little switch for channel 4, channel 3.
Well, that's what stopped me. Yes. We were at Motor City Comic Con maybe 3 years ago, and there was a guy that had an Atari 2600 in box, like the old one, like an original 20. And I'm like, oh, I gotta have it. And Bob goes, dude, how are you going to hook it up to any TV you own? And I'm like, you can just, oh.
Just go to, like, the Goodwill. You'll find a TV to hook it up
Well, but is there, like, a forks to HDMI adapter somewhere?
No, you're going to have to chain a bunch of adapters together.
Do forks to coax. That's it.
But then the resolution's going to be terrible, though. Like, imagine the original resolution was 480.
It was never any good.
No.
Less than 480? Was it 320?
It was, like, 200.
Oh, yeah.
Or 120. Oh. Maybe even.
No, oh, 140.
Dude, I live. 140? So, like, my nephew, and I loved the story. My nephew was bitching when Guitar Hero Rocks the 80s came out. Mm. And we're playing that. And he's like, man, game designers are so lazy now. Like, they didn't even change any of the graphics from Guitar Hero 2. Like, the graphics just suck. And I'm like, okay, Skippy. I turned off that game. Popped in Intellivision's Greatest Hits. And went, we're going to play ice hockey. With, like, the block characters, if you remember that.
Well, hold on. Then there's the Pong where you could play Pong, football.
Super Pong.
Yeah. Dude, where I had the overlay on the TV.
My brother had what was called an Odyssey 2000.
Yes.
Oh. And I actually, unfortunately, had to throw it away recently. So, because it wasn't working. And plus, there's no way to connect it to anything.
No.
But there was, it's just two knobs. Kind of like the Magnavox Odyssey, and three games, Pong, hockey, and like tennis.
And it's the same game with just a different overlay.
It's the same game with different overlay, yes.
Yeah, it reminds me of those like handheld like 20-in-1 games where you're like, oh, I'm going to play Street Fighter, and then I'm going to play Cage Fighter, and then I'm going to play Tekken. It's the same game, but they have just different names on the top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all we had, and we were happy, and we were thankful for them.
I remember those weird. They're like little LCD crystals, basically. They make shitty pixels, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or just single blinking images of something.
Yeah. Like my uncle just hit me with a photo, and it was, God, I couldn't have been maybe 8 or 9 years old. And I'm laying on the couch in like my sleeper feet pajamas playing the old electronic football.
Is this a Tintype photo?
Yeah, that just came back out again.
I just saw those when I was
like
out
GameStop. Around. It's like the Think Geek stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Like, oh yeah. With like, it's just like little dashes. And then your guys are all dashes, and the opposing team is all dashes, and it's all like beep, 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 beep. Yeah, amazing.
Was their names LaDasha? That dash wasn't silent?
Yes. Oh. Dashing through the snow was the name of the other team, yes.
Oh, my God.
It was like those little handheld games that had the buttons.
The Game & Watch?
A little more advanced than that. Like they had like a scenery on the screen.
Like Pitfall came out like that.
Yeah, but a little more modern than that.
Oh, I think Sonic had a couple that were
Sonic like
that. Like
that.
Well.
You like
pick
them up in like the toy aisle of the like Target or something because they weren't really valuable.
They were always on
the
electronics.
Yeah. Like
it's always the if you forgot to get someone something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here you go.
And
I forgot little Timmy. He'll love this.
It wasn't
video
full
game.
Graphics. It was just LCDs that had different positions, and if you held it to the light just right, you could see all the different positions at once.
Oh yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. With like the static background image
screen printed background image behind the screen. Yeah.
Dude, wild.
Yeah. To think how far it's come from that point. Like even when the Game Boy came out, I remember that being like. It was a giant brick that nobody could carry with them at one given point because it was just such an odd shape.
Was that the first Game Boy, or did they make a smaller version later? Because I only remember
they made
like
the Game Boy Pocket.
Okay, because I remember it still being maybe like two decks of cards thick and about the size of maybe four decks of cards. Like, it was still kind of weird and gray and unwieldy and the little purple buttons. Yeah.
It was definitely the original back in the day.
That was the original, okay.
It ate a lot of batteries, so that was thing.
And it required actual batteries, right, AA? Yeah.
Godwin from Refrigerator Diaries was just being an asshole.
And no backlight. So if you wanted to play after dark or under your covers or whatever, you'd have to hold a flashlight in your mouth while you had both hands on the...
I remember always holding the Game Boy up while in the backseat of the car to use the headlights from the car behind to light it up.
Or streetlights.
Yeah.
Play in between streetlights.
Yeah, now, you could only see every, like, 5 seconds. Yep.
Now, did you ever get the link cable to be able to, like, do true multiplayer gaming back in the day?
I could never get it to work.
I saw people doing that with Pokemon, in the sixth grade. That's when it started getting used.
Either color or... Advance. I don't remember which one I had the link cable for, but I did have a link cable for one of them eventually.
I remember I was on a field trip, and I think it was fifth grade, and we were on a double-decker bus, because they rented the entire double-decker bus. And so
I wanted to, London.
Oh, no. A Florida man rides a double-decker bus on the way to NASA. Okay? So we had this cable, and it basically was like just long enough to stretch between the aisles of the bus. So I was like in the B seat, and someone else was in the D seat, and we just would stretch the cable across. So every time someone would come over, we'd just have to hold our Game Boys up with the cable. And I just...
Clear out of the street.
Pause. Clear. Right, game on.
Yeah, game off. Game on.
That was so weird.
You should have just put up, like, a sign for Limbo, like, hanging from the cord.
How low can he go?
Pretty low.
Low. I feel like we've all established that.
Woof.
Yeah, I remember when the link cables came out for, like, the Game Boy and stuff, and the first thing that was usable with it was Pokemon and trading and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I remember doing the trades and everything, and then battles... Whenever you'd, you know, get angry that somebody was winning, you just unplug the cable and go, oh, it disconnected.
Oh, it reset. I don't know what happened.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. That was a huge
dirty thing. Cheat.
Oh, that was elementary school. Everybody did that.
I was like hitting pause in a multiplayer game.
Yeah. Everybody did that. I think.
Oh, no. Everybody did that.
Then you knew some shady ass people. That
was elementary school.
Birds, feather, flocking together. Film at 11.
Brad, what about Christmas movies, man?
Oh, that was another big thing for Christmas, was like the Christmas TV specials and movies that would be playing on, you know, all day long.
My mom loves them, and I hate them. Like all the Rankin Bass claymation stuff drives
They're
me bonkers.
Amazing. Really? I don't care what all this crap that's coming out now says.
I just didn't think they were entertaining or particularly well-written movies.
The new Kurt Russell Christmas movie on Netflix.
Oh, my God.
That's
horrible.
It's actually pretty great.
I heard it was good,
really?
Too.
Jess and I laid in bed the other night and watched it, and we're actually, like, entertained by it.
I've only seen, like, oh, my God, this is terrible. Like,
no, not at all. Like,
okay.
I was super happy.
I think it has,
it.
Like, less than 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. Or last I checked, because it popped up on...
The day I base anything I do off of a Rotten Tomatoes rating... Just please, like, understand that I'm under duress and you should call the police.
You know what's actually a surprisingly good Christmas movie, though, is Krampus from a few years ago, starring Toni Collette and the housekeeper from Two and a Half Men.
That is an amazing movie. Yeah. We were just talking about this.
Yeah. It was well written and entertaining and...
A little creepy.
Was it on streaming, or where'd you find it? Is it
in the
theaters?
Theater.
I saw it. That was like 2015?
Yeah, maybe like
2015. It was.
I'm sure it's out somewhere.
But it was surprisingly good for what it was.
It was an okay movie. I just remember there was... that's the movie with the scene where he like takes the picture of a Krampus and he just like throws a rock at it to smash and goes, I'm going to get you, and you know... It's that one, right?
So the Christmas Chronicles has an 87% audience rating.
Oh,
66% critic rating. So
I guess I gotta give it a shot now.
A fresh holiday viewing option, or simply the mood for Santa Kurt Russell.
I mean, it's Kurt Russell, unless it's not, like, I'm sorry, unless it's like the Christmas version of Big Trouble in Little China, I don't care. Like, I would watch that.
No, it's good.
Yeah. Just know that if I hear the Heat Miser song around this time, I will just go bonkers.
I don't want to make toys. I want to be a dentist.
Also bad.
So not just movies, but what about music? Now, when I would do Christmas with my ex-wife's family, her mom demanded we put on a CD, and I think it was, oh, God, what terrible 90s singer's Christmas album was it? Oh, one of those female crooners.
Mariah Carey.
It was basically like Mariah Carey sings Christmas. Yeah, exactly. And so she would put it on, and it was like a mandated thing. We had to have that on when we were opening presents.
Which explains why she's your ex-wife, because
it drove me crazy. And I wondered if that was just something that – now, I didn't mind the Michael Bublé Christmas. Like that's like totally classy. And I, Michael Bublé
– What about that Wham?
Was Wham Christmas album?
I don't know.
Yes,
I think they had a Last Christmas.
Hello,
didn't they?
Last Christmas. Yeah. They were the progenitor.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
so did your families put on weird music and have that tradition too, or is it just the movies?
We never listened to Christmas music beyond the radio playing it.
Mm-hmm. So basically, a random assortment. It wasn't one CD.
And Ian's here.
Nice, Ian.
I just did the holiday like sing-alongs during like elementary school, middle school, and stuff like that. But I never ever listened to holiday music in the house. Like that was just not my thing.
I don't think.
Then again, I'm first generation, so you know that didn't really fly. So
yeah, I don't think anybody in my family ever went, "Hey, we should
have
listen to Christmas."
Have a holly dolly Christmas.
You got it. Yep, you got it. But I mean, hey, we did kind of have a Christmas tree, and we kind of promoted Santa, so like we were interfaith in a way. So
yeah, it. I don't think it was ever decided. What are the hand signals being? Oh, are we running low on?
No, you're just losing to your folks. I got to run.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much for having me. Like this trip down memory lane has been incredible. So thanks for having me.
Well, have fun with your podcast in 30 minutes.
I'm out too.
Like how much?
See ya.
How much prep does that actually
We have to hold the cables and talk about strategy and
synergize and energize. And
we have to operationalize our efficiencies.
Change paradigms and yeah.
Don't touch my beer.
Somebody go touch his beer.
I was going to say that's the first thing that's going to happen now.
Right?
But yeah, with my family, Christmas music was never a big thing. It was always what's on the radio. And
yeah. No, it wasn't a thing at all.
No. Because I remember always listening to it in the car, and that's because that's what the radio station played.
Now, my grandparents, like when it was – oh, my God. So you talk about like Christmas memories of days gone by. So when we lived in Virginia when I was a kid, and my kid sister, who's 9 years younger than me, was like still like – newborn, like baby wrapped up, swaddled, all that fun stuff. We had one of those, the old dragon wagons, like the huge station wagons where like, you know, the back seat, you sat in the back and you faced the cars behind you, and seatbelt, schmeatbelt. So we load all that up with all the Christmas presents and everything, drove up to Pennsylvania, grabbed my grandparents, and then we were driving to Indianapolis because that's where my aunt and uncle were, and we were doing that. And I will never forget the town where this happened because the dragon wagon was a diesel, and there's this thing with diesels where if it gets too cold, fuel will gel and not flow. And so number one, the car was so loaded down that we're in this giant ass, like just huge station wagon at probably a 30-degree angle. And so even with like the low beams on, my grandfather was driving.
Oh, so the fuel pump is pumping hard.
Oh yeah. And then my grandfather's driving and like the low beams are hitting like the streets, like the signs on the highway. Like perfectly. But so we're in Zanesville, Ohio. I will never forget the name of that town when the fuel gels, and the car will go no further. And so we spent 10 hours in a Howard Johnson's restaurant because in Zanesville, Ohio, you're only going to find a Howard Johnson's.
That's the place to be in Zanesville.
It's the only place to be. So that we had to leave the car there. My stepfather, like, basically hitched a ride with people that were driving to the airport so he could go and rent a car. And it was like a smaller station wagon. So it was even more ridiculously loaded up, by the time we got done. And yeah, that's the Christmas I got stuck in Zanesville, Ohio. Was just not enjoyable.
I mean, how many people were hanging on to the roof of that car in order to get to where you were going?
Dude, it was nuts. Like that was possibly like my kid sister. This I remember like as a newborn, she was like basically stacked in the back, on top of like all the presents with like a blanket between her.
Got the arm for a seatbelt.
Totally. Oh, that's all it ever was.
Basically, the goal of that ride was don't hit the brakes
ever. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah,
I did that too quite a bit as a child during the Christmas season because it was really the only time that my parents had off, you know, from work. which is we would go to a lot of places. Like we would go to their, you know, our my family friend's house and we'd stay at their mm-hmm. place and, you know, be there for a few days and go see whatever area it was that they were in, like, you know, Virginia or Toronto or Florida or Atlanta and stuff. That was mostly the only time that I really had to hang out with family and be able to travel. That's what we did more than anything else, you know, more than presents or Christmas trees or anything like that.
See, I always had family out in New York, like Niagara Falls, which is a couple hour drive from, you know, Metro Detroit. And we'd always go there a couple days after Christmas. It would be like the yearly tradition of going out there. Snow everywhere. It was the worst drive ever, especially because Niagara Falls is...
Are you going up through Canada?
Yeah.
Also, even more so, yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible every single time. I remember there was one time we actually spun out and kind of sat on the side of the road for a couple minutes before continuing on like nothing happened.
Everybody good? Everybody good? Need to change pants? Cool. Off we go.
Yeah pretty much. That was the trip. And, you know, but that was a tradition with my family a little bit was a couple days after Christmas, we had to all go over to New York for a couple days and then we'd come back home just in time for school.
Now, see, like you guys have both and I mentioned travel, too. Like so like I'm not going to lie. Like I hated the family that was in Indianapolis that we were driving out to see. Like they were just not my favorite people at all. And so like all these like these trips that you were taking, like did the obligatory stuff just suck? Because it's something you had to do or because you weren't – like, I loved going to see my grandparents in Pennsylvania. I was cool with that. That was awesome. Always had a great time because, like, my cousins were there and that kind of stuff. But, like, Indianapolis was, like, nowheresville. Like, there, it was, like, just – it was them. And I didn't like them. And so it was, like, you were just trapped there.
I kind of get that because even now when somebody I know goes, hey, I'm going to Niagara Falls. You want to join? It's like, no. I've been there so many times now. It's lost its spectacle to me because from the ages of like 6 to like 18, every single year I would be in Niagara Falls twice a year. And even some of those trips, I wouldn't even go to the falls because family would be like, oh, man, we're going to go to the falls and be like, I'm cool here. I'm going to sit on the couch for the next couple hours and wait for you guys to get back.
I've got that photo op. That's cool. I'm just going to raid your liquor cabinet then.
Yeah. I think for me it was if the other like side of the family had like kids that were the same age as me. So it would be like a lot more fun because I wouldn't see them in a while and then we would play like something fun like, you know, Nintendo or go out to somewhere cool like not Niagara Falls but like the CN Tower or go to the flea market or something weird. So I don't know. It just really depended on the family that I was with and if they had any kids my age. And then if they didn't, then, you know, it was just really, really boring. And I didn't really have like a Game Boy or anything like that, just a Tamagotchi. So, you know.
Which would continually go off, feed me,
exactly.
Which, I mean, let's be real. I mean, that's a Fitbit today.
That is today's Fitbit.
Except the stupid creature you're trying to keep alive is you.
Yes.
Well, okay, so my question is, did anybody else do this with their Tamagotchi? I literally did not clean up its poop until it died. I let my Tamagotchi die in its own poop. I mean, did anybody else do that? Am I weird?
I mean, that was an option. I stopped caring about it.
Kill it on purpose. I'm not an evil person.
I wanted to see what happened. I didn't know. I was young.
I don't know. I never had a dog growing up.
I felt bad about it. But I let it happen. Yeah. So.
I mean, I tortured Sims, but I...
Oh, okay. that's a given. Worse. That's worse, I feel like, but...
You know, where you build the wall, you have them walk in the room, go to the bed, then you remove the door, light it on fire.
Or you put them in a pool without a ladder.
Yeah.
You know.
That was just playing the Sims.
So normal. I mean... We're all sociopaths, guys.
I'm okay with that.
Nobody said we weren't. But when do you guys remember when the Tamagotchi with the step counter came out? I remember there was a Tamagotchi with the step counter. And
they had a Pokemon thing too like that, right?
Oh, yeah. There was the Pikachu one.
Yeah.
But before that, there was a Tamagotchi one where you actually could buy stuff from the store to feed your Tamagotchi using steps. I remember getting duct tape and taping it to the washing machine to get...
Welcome
steps in.
To America, where we don't even want to walk anymore. Nope. We're just like, screw it.
Yeah, give us a video game and go, you can walk around with this. And I'll go, yeah, no, I can just do this instead.
Got that life hack.
Yeah.
Like, so it was like, so I'm curious. So like it just like sensed vibration, and that's why it's the like washing machine worked.
Yeah.
It's a step counter. So yeah, every time so you're shaking, it feels like that.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. So yeah, it would, a load of laundry would give me like 1,000 steps. I remember that. Because I would always ask my mom, and she got like very suspicious because when are you doing the laundry? Why?
Well, I'm pretty sure, yeah, when your teenage son comes to you and asks when you're doing laundry. Questions might get asked.
Right. It's like, well, it's for the toys. What does the toy have to do? Okay, you're going to have to explain this to me because this is weird.
Mom, yeah. This has nothing to do with me jerking off. Yeah, I'm just trying.
There's not a bunch of socks filled with something.
There's not a whole bunch of stiff socks under my bed that I'm trying to get rid of.
I just need duct tape and a Tamagotchi. Come on. Just tell me when you're starting. Mom.
It's very innocent.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a load involved, but it's the washing machine load.
Oh! Ding, ding. There we go. It's too far away. I don't have Stretch Armstrong arms, so. Unfortunately.
Oh, that... Stretch arm, that was the big toy at 1 year, wasn't it? Where
I
it was
remember.
Like sold out everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did anybody ever get those sold out toys that, because I remember getting the Furby, that it was the big thing when I was growing up.
My parents were pretty good about always like getting, like they were, because, I think this is a generational thing. Like, you know, like our parents were pretty much the first generation of parents that were both working. And so there was a little guilt there about them both being out of the home. And so they would buy you stuff. And so like I got the Atari 2600 when that was like the toy that year, and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's a thing.
Yeah. Cause I remember, getting the Furby, and the first thing I heard was, my mom going, I waited in line for 5 hours for that. You better enjoy it. Yeah.
So giving you the guilt.
Pretty
along
much.
With the gift.
Yeah.
It's a good mom.
Yeah. It's a fair assessment of the gift.
I mean,
know?
If you weigh time versus money, both were spent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just for you. I mean,
yes.
That's a huge thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I waited, the year the PS2 came out. Or I think I stood in line 8 or 9 hours to make sure, well, at the time, my stepson, my first marriage, could have that for Christmas. Because I was like, you know, hey, like I'm sitting there, I'm walking around and I shoot her a text and I'm like, hey, PlayStation 2, and this is like 10 in the morning. And I'm like, hey, PlayStation 2, apparently this place is going to have them at like 5 o'clock. Haha, you know, thank God we already said we're not getting one for them, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, are you a moron? Like, get it. And I'm like, well, but we said, she's like, no, we said that because we weren't going to be able to get one, effing get one.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I guess here's my day. And like, you've never had, like, dude, I've got like really close friends and that kind of stuff, but you've never truly bonded with people until you've stood in line with them for like 7 hours.
Oh, yeah.
I remember
waiting for something. Like, I remember the guy behind me was so, like, because they ran late. And so the guy behind me was a process server. And he was like, look, dude, he's like, I've had a lot of fun talking to you. You seem like a really cool guy. If I don't get these subpoenas delivered, I'm going to lose my job.
So let me.
No. Here's $300. Hands me $300 cash and my card. Please buy one for me.
Aww.
And call me because my kid really wants this. And I'm like, dude, I got you.
That is so trusting of a human. That's so trusting.
Well, it's like
when
some
you're
sort of like. Dad bond situation.
I know.
It totally was.
Oh, like, do you feel me, man? I got to take care of some shit. I need to get this from a kid. That's so amazing.
I don't think that'll fly anymore during these times.
Oh
no.
You can't trust
I just pocketed the $300.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Of course you didn't,
I
Dave.
Totally did.
I bought myself 2 PS2s and sold one on eBay. But, yeah, I know that exact same thing because when the Nintendo Wii came out, it was the last big, like, game console launch. I remember waiting in a Meijer. It was, like, the shoe shine thing that was like emptied out. They had us waiting in that.
They had a shoe shine station.
Dude, they had a copy in station. Meyer, yeah. They had a key station. They got everything back.
Wow.
So this was when Fancy. That like closed out. So it was like a hollowed part of the building just in the front area, kind of near like customer service. And it was 26 hours that we waited in that area for the Nintendo Wii because it was sold out everywhere. They were selling on eBay for like $1,000.
All the websites that cropped up, like how to find them. And
26 hours. You waited 26 hours for a video game console.
The kicker is I couldn't even buy it for myself. I had to wait in line to get it so somebody could buy it for me for Christmas because they weren't willing to wait in line for that long for it. So, but you create that bond with those people.
So you camped out for like mom and like pretty she much. Came Basically. In and bought the Wii for you?
I camped out for grandma
grandma.
She could buy the Wii for
me. Well, that's grandma.
Thanks, Graham. Yeah. Thanks, Graham.
I mean, Graham came through, so.
she did pay. She showed up about, you know, an hour before we were allowed to buy them and paid for it, but, you know. But yeah, you create that bond with because it was only 20 people that were allowed to wait for it.
Yep.
That was their stock for the system. And I remember it'd be always, you know, they had the rule where you weren't allowed to leave the line. If you left, you lost your place.
What
and there were five
contest?
People standing off to the side, pretty much, you know, rubbing their hands, just going, oh, come on, somebody so, leave.
Waterfalls,
somebody leave.
Waterfalls.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. But there was the loophole that you could have somebody hold your spot for you so you could go pee and, you know, take care of that stuff and everything. So, you know, whenever somebody would have family come over to, you know, let them, they'd always go, okay, does anybody else need to? I can hold your spot for, you know, I have a half an hour before I had to leave. Does anybody else have to go? I'll hold your spot. And then it's
do you
have
to go take care of your baby?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do you need to go home and feed your child or something?
Nah,
like,
they'll be fine for 26 hours.
I put the TV on. They'll be good.
Right. So, yeah, Elmo's on. Sesame Street. They're fine.
Yeah.
I put a bowl of food on the floor. My dog's fine.
Aww.
But yeah. And
there's pads all over. It's fine.
They'll be fine. Yeah. But yeah, that was a thing for, you know, and I think that was the last game system release that had that kind of mentality behind it because now it's online.
Oh, now it's all pre-order.
Yeah, the Switch wasn't even that crazy as much as I thought it would be last year.
Yeah.
Well, it was hard to find them if you didn't pre-order them because I had to wait like after the pre-order, like, you know, original launch sold out. Like it took me about 8 months to find one personally, but for some people it was a lot easier.
In and out of stock. I mean, this was the last one where it was, if you didn't get it this day, you're not getting it until next February kind of thing.
Boo.
With no chance of like even going, oh, I'll wait in line for a couple hours at so-and-so store for a restock.
It's like Pet Rocks and Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah.
Pet Rocks and Cabbage Patch Kids.
And Tickle Me Elmos. You remember those too?
Oh God. Yeah. When that
was
the thing to have.
There used to always be a thing to have like each year.
There's always, there's always like four or five things.
I think it's slowly getting grayer.
Well, I think it gets artificially created.
Yes, it does. Like by the mass media.
Yeah, who's spending the most money on ads? That's who we're going to give the top four toys to.
It's
any publicity.
That's it.
Good publicity.
Well, it's not only that, but then you have the people that are buying a ton of it to sell online that are also perpetuating.
There's a special place in hell for those people. Screw you.
Oh, yeah.
On The Office, Dwight Schrute bought all the Princess Unicorns.
Yeah.
Yeah. What an asshole. But you got to love Dwight Schrute. Just saying.
Yeah. I remember that episode and everything like that because wasn't one of the warehouse people the entire episode going, come on, man, just sell me one, please.
Yeah.
It was Toby. Toby needed
one that's right.
For
it was
his
Toby.
Daughter.
Yeah.
Good times. Sorry. Office reference, of course.
Go figure.
I know, right?
It's Christmassy. He was selling them for Christmas.
Yep.
But yeah. Yeah, and that's a huge market as well where, you know, people will go out and buy all of them and then all of a sudden parents are later going, oh, well, they're sold out everywhere because Joe Schmo has 200 of them in his basement waiting
Jackasses.
To sell them.
Yeah.
Because he went to every store in the Tri-County area.
Just get a real job.
Apparently that is a real job because people make a lot of money off this stuff.
Fine, once a year, and then you burn in hell when you die.
Oh, I'm sure they do, but I mean, while they're on Earth, they're living the good life, man. They're like, I have all this money.
They're
making it rain on themselves.
They have all this, supplemental income while they're sitting at home on disability.
You know?
Right.
That's enough money to go buy the sword that they need at the Renaissance Festival.
Dad, I need to be able to afford the lightning bolts for the...
I feel like the levels of judgment are just getting higher and higher. It's amazing.
Welcome to the breakfast table.
As long as you're not, like, gatekeeping people out of being nerds, like, you can't do that.
Oh, only God, the no. people that are assholes and nerds.
Okay.
Yeah. You know,
that's fair.
I don't know about that, man.
I mean, I'm on the show.
I mean, I go to the Renaissance Festival every single year. You know, that doesn't stop me.
They're fun.
Oh, yeah. But then that person that's funding it by selling the toy that's supposed to go to kids this year.
He can go to hell.
Right. I hope he lands on the sword that he bought just 5 minutes ago.
I hope he gets jousted.
Probably like three.
3 minutes?
Yeah, just to be safe.
I mean, I think we're pretty much ready to wrap up. Unless there's any final comments on Christmas that anybody has.
Best Christmas movie is White Christmas with Bing Crosby.
Nope. The Friday After Next. That's the best Christmas movie ever.
Okay,
we're going to go 20 minutes over now.
No, we're not going to have an opinion battle. That's my opinion, and your opinion
like
is
your
rightfully
opinion.
Yours. So.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, and I'm not going to argue with you. You're
but your
allowed
opinion's
to have
wrong.
One. It's an opinion. It can't be wrong. To be
opinions
honest.
Are binary. It's either a one or a zero.
No.
You're not allowed to go outside of that.
Right.
But yeah.
All right. Good talk.
Yeah.
So how do you guys want to wrap this
up? Hey, there is a lot of holiday movies coming out this year. There is quite a bit. We got that Aquaman movie, and then Wreck-It Ralph just came out after Thanksgiving.
Those are just movies
they're
that are coming
holiday.
Out in December.
They're
not holiday movies.
It snows in Iceland. It's a holiday movie.
This isn't
those are movies at the holidays, not necessarily holiday yeah. movies.
This isn't the Die Hard debate of just which is a holiday movie.
It is a holiday movie.
Those are just movies that happen to release in December. That's different.
That
Who knows?
Is true.
You haven't seen them yet.
You're not wrong, but at the same time, you're very wrong. But
what was the other day he said? Oh, no, my buddy Pierre said, he's like, you're not wrong, but you're an asshole.
Oh, my favorite is, you're not wrong. You're just not supposed to say it out loud.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I'm more right than you are.
I'm going to have to steal that one, too. But that has been The Breakfast Table.
Happy holidays, everyone.